The 50th Gene Key. The transformational path of the 50th Gene Key moves from corruption to harmony, and it's the path of equilibrium. The 50th Gene Key has many, many dimensions to it. It's one of the 7 or 8 musical gene keys, and by musical I don't mean good at music, but musical in the sense of governing an entire realm or dimension of frequency. And the others, by the way, are the 12, the 22, the 59, the 6, the 27, the 57, and the 20. Those of you who know your human design may recognize a pattern there. It's a kind of divine circuit, but that's for another time. And when you explore the transmission that's known as the Delta Fellowship, you'll learn more about it. So the 50th Gene Key is about harmony. That's the city. And it has to do with the patterns of celestial harmony woven into all forms and all realms. It's a potential portal to that at the city level, and we're going to find out about that. But down here on the shadow, at the shadow frequencies, it's all about corruption. Corruption, great word. It's one of those collective words. And often when people see their profile and they see that they have the 50th gene key, and then they see this word and they're often aghast. Corrupt? I'm not corrupt. So you see, it's one of these words we're going to have to penetrate a little deeper. And in the Gene Keys book, when you read about this shadow, it speaks of the idea of corrupt data. You know, when you hear that in terms of computers, for example, all the data on my hard drive was corrupted, so I lost everything. That's the kind of thing we hear. Well, that's one of the inner meanings of corruption here, because your hard drive is corrupted. You incarnated with a virus built into the hardware. And from the moment you started growing in the womb, that virus began its work. It's wound around our DNA. It's a karmic legacy. You know, we all come here with karma, ancestral baggage, genetic patterns that corrupt the true nature, the true pattern of our nature. And our whole purpose in life is to root out these corrupted programs and reboot the primary hard drive. That's our journey. That's the journey of awakening. And the Gene Keys also have very carefully chosen words. So if you have corruption in your profile, or this Gene Key is coming strongly into your contemplation, then karmically you may well face corruption in the world. You may draw it into your aura. You may have grown up with it in your environment. Or you may just be deeply disturbed by it in the world. And the dilemma of this shadow is passivity. And this is quite a deep story. If you look at the outer world, and you look at our governments, our power structures, and look at our culture and our society, and our nutritional habits and our moral values, all these things are connected to the 50th Gene Key. And wherever you look, wherever you dig just a little, you're going to find the roots of this corruption. It's like a cosmic weed that's everywhere. And it manifests on the outside because it's wound around us on the inside. Which means that you can never stamp it out on the outside unless you first pull out the root on the inside. And that's what it's going to take to get us to harmony. And why passivity? Because we don't believe we can do anything about it. You know, externally, most of us have quit. We've gone flat. We're living flat lives, like a tire that's lost its pressure. No one else fights, so why should I? How can I do anything? Everyone else does it, so we resign. That's the attitude of this shadow. And of course, it's self-perpetuating. It's the same on the inside. We've really tried. Some of us, you know, on the inside, we've really tried. We've followed teachings, we've meditated, we've prayed, we've followed this teacher and that teacher. And none of it has really worked. I mean, not really. We may have had an experience or two, but the weed is still there. We're still deeply corrupted. You know, this Christian idea of sin, it's actually quite revealing. We have this original sin. This is the corruption. I mean, it's not our fault in the way that most Christians make it sound like it is, but we still have it. And most of us are simply resigned to the fact. The world is full of sin, I'm full of sin, that's just how it is. But the 50th gene key, it's a pivotal gene key. It's one of this is one of its special qualities. It, in the wheel of life, it's a pivot. It is a breakthrough point. It's why it's the gift of equilibrium, because it's a fulcrum. It's why its programming partner is the shadow of chaos. That's the third gene key. So you have chaos and corruption, and that's what the ancients called the wheel of samsara. But there are ways out. The mystics have indicated that there are ways out, but it takes work, a lot of work. You can't be passive at the beginning. You mustn't give up. Chaos wants you to give up. Corruption relies on your giving up. It knows the odds are stacked against you. But there is a tipping point inside each of us. How much do we really want this? You know these movies, they're everywhere nowadays, where the hero is surrounded by corrupt officials, by injustice, and he or she just decides to take this great stand. You know, almost every film has that theme. And then there's this huge battle as the weak takes on the strong and finally overcomes impossible odds to win victory in the finale. That's the story in the 50th Gene Key. It's about impossible odds. The 50th Gene Key lives with impossible odds. You have to take a stand. Internally, you have to take a stand. You have to overcome the weight of your karma. And you have to reach the tipping point. And that takes courage. It takes perseverance. But you know, the good news is that the odds are not impossible. That's just the view from the shadow. That's why we become so passive, so flaccid. It's why we give up. But as soon as you take a stand to find out what awakening is, a great force comes alive in you. And it will wax and wane in the beginning, but over time, it will stabilize inside you. And then things become easier. I mean, it still takes self-discipline, but the self-discipline comes naturally. It flows from your core. Your longing calls it. And that's how you tackle corruption. Slow and steady. Slow and steady. And the tendency we have is to react to the shadow. We have an uncomfortable day, and then we get all tight inside, trying too hard to pull out the weed. And that makes us even more tense. You'll find this 50th gene key a real help in offering advice in how to approach uncomfortable shadow states. It's musical, remember. So you have to tune the strings better. It's like when your child starts learning the violin or something, and you hear this terrible rasping sound, and it's agony. But then after some months, you know, little tunes start to appear, little riffs that are then perfected and integrated, and it's all a learning process. And our subtle bodies are like that. We have a lot of habits that undermine us, that create corruption in our aura, and we have to work away at them. We have to identify them one by one, and then disable them. And we replace them with new habits, harmonic patterns. And it's a whole business. It takes time. It's a learning process. And that's how you deal with the shadow of corruption. You have to keep your spirit buoyant. You have to learn the knack of cheerfulness, finding things that keep you moving in the right direction. If you give in to the negative forces of the shadow, you'll quickly return to the place of deep suffering. And life constantly sends us signals and gifts and parcels. We just have to pay attention. Okay, let's have a look at the gift. The 50th gift, equilibrium. As I was saying, this is about keeping your spirit up in the face of the shadow. And you'll find that one of the greatest gifts this teaching will give you is the art of contemplation. And contemplation is the art of maintaining perfect equilibrium. It's funny how the gene keys integrate these two ancient paths, the path of Christ, the path of love, and the path of the Buddha, the path of wisdom. I've talked about this before, the balancing of concentration and meditation. And the path of love requires concentrated energy. You know, you pour all your love, all your longing, all your prayer into your path. And everything you do is an effort to reach the higher consciousness. And the other way is the opposite, the path of wisdom. simply to observe all patterns that come up. You exert no effort whatsoever. You watch, you accept everything as transient, as ephemeral and unreliable. And over time, both paths can lead to the goal, to truth. But the path of contemplation is the path of equilibrium, and it's about threading the passage between these two ways. If you go too far in one direction, you tense up or you give up. So you keep coming back to the center point. It's such a powerful thing, and it does take some time to master this, and you'll probably keep forgetting and taking the extreme. But because the extreme hurts, it will keep bringing you back to the point of balance. And this 50th gift, therefore, it has a lot of power and it can be hugely creative. It uses the corrupt energy to create balance. So if you have this gift, then this is your energy, your genius, to go into any environment that's dysfunctional, where the music is frankly awful, a cacophony, and you'll use your inner power and your aura and your gifts to reunite the elements and recombine them so that harmony is once again possible. And you can apply this metaphor into any social sphere, from business to the arts. And as you discover the inner gifts that equilibrium bring you personally, then you become an agent of equilibrium in the world. And, you know, you see this in nature a lot. You know, when natural systems move out of balance, they right themselves. They have a righting mechanism. But we, humanity, we can only do that when we've found the internal equilibrium. And then whatever we do on the outside reflects what we embody on the inside. And you'll be called upon to tackle the corruption at one level or another. And that could be anything as well. It's not something you can work out. You'll just find yourself doing it. Nature will use you. In fact, whatever job you have, it can be applied in that job right now, as soon as you discover it on the inside. And as I said earlier, in the wheel of life, there are many patterns and sequences. And one of them begins with this third gene key in the wheel. And if you follow it all the way around the wheel, you'll see that it ends with a gene key on the other side, but right next to it, the 42nd gene key. And that's the evolutionary sequence that governs all cellular life on our planet. And you know, if you look at that in the wheel, you see something special about the 50th gene key. You'll see that it's in the exact center of that wheel. It's the tipping point. It's the fulcrum. It's actually in the 50th gene key in the very first line. And what that means is that this gene key has a unique power. It holds life in balance. The ancients, one of the interpretations of this gene, of the 50th hexagram, is cosmic balance. And when we begin that process of awakening, our spirit recalibrates itself in stages, in incarnations, through initiations. And the greatest of these is the one when we come into inner equilibrium. We learn to trust in the truth inside us. And we balance the paths of love and wisdom. And then we're traveling the central path, the path of truth. So know that you are on the path of truth, and it's a new path. It's the path of the new human, because it unites left and right. It avoids the extremes. I mean, we can't all be renunciates anymore. This path is for modern life. It's for modern living. It is viable. It works. Buddha said, don't pull the string too tight or it will snap. Neither let it sag too loose or it will lose power. Christ said, unless you come to me as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And they're both saying the same thing. Hope you can see that. Don't be too extreme. Be playful and disciplined. Be open and soft. Be balanced. Let the music of life dance through you. Let life live itself beautifully through your life. Cultivate awe. Cultivate peacefulness. Cultivate truth. The 50th city, harmony. So we move from corruption to to equilibrium. And that eventually leads us, inevitably, to harmony. Equilibrium, you see, is the flowering, and harmony is the fruit. When the process of flowering into equilibrium has become so deeply ingrained in our nature, then at the perfect time when we're ready, the fruit drops to the ground. We find ourselves inhabiting a permanent state of inner harmony. You see, the gift of equilibrium isn't just a balancing act of left and right. It's not just a tightrope walker. It's about constant readjustment to the rhythms and the events that our dharma, our destiny, brings us. So life tests us over and over to maintain our inner equilibrium, our core stability. And we have to keep on innovating, keep on meeting each challenge with creative adaptation. That's the third gift, by the way, programming partner. But at the shadow state, we spend most of our time out of balance, hurled by the currents of pleasure and pain from one side of chaos to the other. We're a victim caught in the net of the Maya. But as our inner life opens to us, we begin to realize that equilibrium lies within, but it takes some work to maintain it. There are so many things to be balanced. Inner life and outer responsibility, our social and financial commitments, our relational challenges, our daily decisions and diet, our health and well-being. How do we keep all of this in balance? It's interesting that our sense of balance is connected to the ear, the inner ear. And in the ear there's this pool of fluid, and in that cavity float crystals that relay chemical information to the brain and the central nervous system. And that's how we stay physically balanced. It's like a liquid crystal compass we have. But at a higher level, that's also what our DNA is, if you think about it. The liquid in every cell of our bodies is constantly attuning to the frequency field that we're aligning with. So if we align with the shadow of chaos that the human world puts out, then that's what our body feels like. We're like one of those early planets that's constantly being hit by meteorites every few seconds. There's no hope of relaxation at that level. And then as we align ourselves with the higher frequencies, as we learn to balance our emotions, as we learn to use our mind creatively, as we use our physical body wisely, so our body and our DNA attunes us to a deeper harmony that lies beyond the world that our senses can see, the inner world, the spiritual world. It lies beyond the five senses. To pick up its frequencies, we have to develop what the Buddhists call equanimity, a wonderful word. And it means two things. It means to see from a higher view and to rest in the middle. And that's the challenge of the gift. Contemplation constantly brings us back to the higher view. And that view allows us to stay in the center, in the middle, to become more anchored in our core stability, no matter what life throws at us. And life initiates us constantly. It tests our equanimity. It is, in fact, very compassionate and generous in this way, if we can view life from that level. Everything that happens to us is for our higher benefit. You know, we're here to learn to live with equanimity. Even shock has the capacity to lift us with grace to another level of consciousness. And so as our equanimity, our equilibrium becomes truly stable, we become unshakable. We become truly peaceful. And our life opens us up to a higher reality, a harmony that lies hidden from view, but that's communicated continuously to us from every cell within our DNA. And as this harmony expands inside us, so we begin to function through our higher bodies. You see, most of us only know our lower bodies, the lower vehicles, the physical, the emotional, and the mental bodies. We think that's all we are. But our higher trinity, the causal, the buddhic, the atmic bodies, they're our hidden instrumentation. And it's through them that we pick up the higher harmony. They're like our spiritual antennae in that way. So as we attune to the higher harmony, all our subtle bodies come into harmony, like the strings of the harp. And the inner light that they resonate is communicated through resonance through our lower vehicles, and we experience transformation. As I said, we're musical beings. We're built like an octave, and all those notes need to be plucked in the right way through our opening up to love. And then the emotional system is transcended, and then the mind falls silent, and the physical body becomes radiant, and we enter the state of self-illumination. And one final insight from the Kodon ring here. This jinky is bonded musically to the 44th jinky through the Kodon ring of the Illuminati. And you can see how this works. At the level of chaos and corruption, you find yourself among a very different Illuminati. You know, all the underworld. You're a victim of that lower world. And at the gift level, your allies become, well, they become fellow seekers, carefully treading the narrow path to truth, sometimes falling off, then resuming, then falling, then resuming, but always learning, growing, and expanding on the adventure, the quest. The 44th gift is teamwork, so we have to learn from each other in our relationships, our families, our communities. It's where karma is worked out. And the teamwork is also in our cells. Think about that. Our cells have to learn to work together as a team, and we are their captain, and we have to learn to guide them to work at higher and higher levels of frequency. And the finale is our awakening, as we awaken to the higher harmony. So we become aware of the eternal hierarchy of higher consciousness. The universe is peopled by entities from the lowest, densest frequencies to the most rarefied beings of light. We enter a vast inner world, a world where for the first time we become aware of the principle of Synarchy, the 44th city. Synarchy is the awareness that all consciousness follows a higher order, that there is a center of centers, and it's everywhere and in all things. Everything is knitted together in this grand harmony, and all beings are caught up in this great drama. And the higher you go, the more unified the field becomes, until finally you disappear into the whole. That's Synarchy. And the 50th city brings awareness to your role within the hologram of the cosmos. Every planet, every star, every creature and blade of grass has a corresponding place within you. The entire cosmos is reflected within you. As above, so below. And you become the ocean in the drop. You become everything. You become no thing. You become God.